John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning at verse number 19. John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning at verse number 19. Chapter 20. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing amongst them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Peace be with you. Peace be with you. I want you to go back with me 2,000 years. Go back with me to Holy Week. Remember what happened on Friday, Good Friday. Then remember what happened on Easter Sunday morning. Last week, we celebrated Easter. Remember, Mary Magdalene and the other women went to the tomb looking. Actually, they went to the tomb to anoint Jesus, and they found that he was not there. Then remember, even before that, remember how Peter had said, "You know, I'll never deny you." And then during that week, there were three occasions when Peter denied Christ. Remember Judas, one of the 12 that kissed him to betray him so that the soldiers would know who he was. And so Jesus was arrested and put on a cross. And now this is Sunday evening. Early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. Jesus is not there. He's risen from the grave. Now it is Sunday evening, and 10 of the disciples are up in a room somewhere, hiding out, scared to death, because they know that there's an APB out on their lives, and they are scared, and so they're hiding together in a room, trembling, listening to every sound and wondering if a soldier would stop at the door and arrest them and then put them on their cross. Notice now that the text says, we know that Judas has committed suicide, and we know that Thomas is missing, so we know there's 10 of them in the upper room. Afraid. Full of disillusionment. Imagine what they must have been feeling. Imagine how Peter is feeling. Imagine that Peter is up there feeling ashamed of himself because he was Mr. Big Mouth saying, "Though everybody turn their back on you, I will never, never deny you." Imagine the shame that he was feeling. He's there in that upper room. And not only Peter, imagine how all of them must have felt. They must have felt like they did not stand up to the authorities. They did not come forward to defend Jesus Christ. They must have been feeling ashamed of their behavior. Anybody in here ever not been able to do what you professed that you were going to do? Before the trials came, "Oh, I'm with you, baby. I got your back. Oh, you know I got you." Look at somebody say, but when the trials came, you were nowhere to be found. Your phone, they called you over and over again. It blew up, but you were not home. And that's the way these 10 guys, these disciples, when Jesus really needed them, really needed his posse. The posse was on vacation. And now here they are up in this upper room, trembling, ashamed, disillusioned, in a locked room, hoping that no one would find them to arrest them. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. And the way Jesus shows up is really kind of spooky. Jesus shows up and he doesn't use a key. He just goes in the room. He gets it. His spirit is there. And really it kind of is spooky. Look at somebody say, I don't need a spooky Jesus. But even though in my mind it's kind of spooky, but I'm glad that Jesus can get behind locked doors. I'm glad that there's nothing that can prevent him from getting to me, because many of us are in a locked situation. We cannot see our way out. And no, many of our worst troubles that happen to us are in locked doors in our own homes. There are people in jail right now who's locked up, but I got some good news for them. They may be locked up, but they are not necessarily locked out, because Jesus can get through. He can break through locked situations. Do I have a witness in the house? So Jesus, these 10 guys up in that room talking and praying and crying and listening. How many of you know when you're afraid you can hear things that's not there? I can imagine them saying, oh my God, can't you hear those soldiers? Huh? They're coming up the steps. Oh, they're about to get me. And all of a sudden, in the midst of their fears, Jesus comes in and he says, peace be unto you. Oh, it's a good thing to be able to receive the peace of Christ. When you're going through your heartache, when you're going through your pain, when you're going through your suffering, when you're going through your grief, when you're going through your misery, it's good to know that Jesus speaks peace. You know, but this peace that Jesus speaks is more than a greeting. You know how sometimes we say in church, peace be unto you. We go over and we hug somebody. Peace to Christ. That's all nice, but it's just a greeting. I come see peace to Christ be with you all. It's a wish. We are wishing that you receive the peace of Christ. But this statement is more than a wish. Christ is able to give you peace. The presence of Christ is peace. The presence of Christ is joy. I need more than a hug to give me peace. So Christ comes to them in their fears and he says to them, peace be with you. And then after he says that, he says that he showed them nail prints and showed them his side was pierced, and then it says that he breathed on them. Now, the breath of Christ, and it says that he breathed the Holy Ghost on them. That he knew that, he says, before that he says, I sent, as I have been sent, I send you. I'm sending you out into a mean and unfriendly world. You're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to need something to hold you. There's some mean folk out in this world. There's some folk who will scandalize your name. There's some folk who will lie on you. There's some folk who will do all manner of evil against you. You better have the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody was asleep. I'm trying to wake him up. I wanted him to know, what is that going on? Don't cut my mic off. He breathed on them. The breath of the Lord Christ can transform. transform a life. He can make us into new individuals. He can make us into new women and men. He can give us strength to do the impossible. Through Christ, all things are possible. The breath of the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus.
Says they're up in that upper room, a bunch of nervous wrecks. Christ shows up, speaks peace. I don't know why you came today. Y'all look good, but I got a feeling that some nervous, scared, fearful people. You've been to the doctor lately and they told you you got a spot somewhere. You've been unemployed. You got more bills than you got money. You're working hard, you just don't have enough money to pay your bills. Working harder than you have, and you're afraid and you're wondering how you're going to make it. I got some good news for you. Christ says, peace be unto you. Peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You know, as I was reading this text, I told you it looked like sometimes like this is kind of a spooky situation. They're all scared to death. And you know, when you're scared, not only can you hear all kind of things, you can see all kind of things. You see, you're scared and you see, and somebody said, that's Christ. Somebody said, that ain't Christ. That's a ghost. Somebody, no, 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 that's Christ. Somebody said, no, that is not Christ. I can imagine they were arguing, you know, 10 men up in the room. One seeing one thing, one seeing another thing. But then, thanks be to God, they didn't just see, but the text says Jesus spoke to them. Sometimes you can see something, you don't understand it, but I can hear somebody say, oh, I recognize that voice. I walked with him for 3 years. I heard him say, peace be still. I heard him tell Lazarus to come forth. That's definitely Jesus. I will recognize that voice anywhere. This morning, we were in the Family Life Center. Michael was sitting there. Barbara was sitting there. And I said, where's Monique? Nobody knew where she was. But then I heard her voice. I'm familiar with that voice. I've been hearing that voice for 28 years. I heard that voice in good times and bad times. And I didn't really see her, but I knew she was in the room. Because I recognized the voice. And when you walk with Jesus and he walks with you and he talks with you, you know it's not a ghost, it's the Holy Ghost. And you recognize the voice and you know you feel better just to hear his voice. You got a feeling everything is going to be all right. You're going through a storm in your life. You're having some difficulty. But as long as you hear the voice. I'd like to think as a parent, When our kids go through some stuff. Now, as parents, you know, there are two kind of voices as parents. We can have that loving voice, but we can also have that authoritative voice. But ultimately, I'd like to think that when our kids hear our voice, they know that we have their best interests at heart. And they know that if I can make it home, if I can just hear mama, if I can just see daddy, I got a feeling, I got to listen to them go down, I have to listen to them tell me off, but I know in the long run they're going to come back and they're going to take care of me. Here we are, these 10 guys in the room. We know it's 10 because Judas is dead and Thomas is not there. I got a question for you. Have you ever wondered where in the world was Thomas? I mean, I got an unholy suggestion. He's been with Jesus and he's expecting Jesus to be the Messiah. He's expecting that he's going to be in the cabinet in Jesus' administration, and then Jesus ups and gets killed.
Talking about he got all power. He could call angels. I can imagine Thomas said, why did you call him? And now Jesus is dead. And Thomas probably was disappointed. He was probably disillusioned. He might have been at the local bar. That is not biblical. That is just a suggestion of how people sometimes deal with their depression. I don't know. I don't know where he was. Look, somebody said, scratch that, scratch it, scratch it, scratch it. Scratch it. I don't know where he was, but I know he was not there. It's just like some of those Easter Christians. They were here last week. But they're A-W-O-L. Absent without leave today. And you know sometimes you need to be present to get your blessing. Do I have a witness? The Lord's trying to bless you and you're absent. You got to be present to receive. So Thomas, Johnny come lately Thomas, he shows up and the disciples say, you should have been here. You ever been to one of them services? It was so good. You can't wait to see somebody. Say, you should have been there. I hope to God that somebody will go out of here today and say, oh, you should have been there today. I mean, most of the time, Jackson ain't much, but today. I mean, he was on it today. You missed it today. Here comes Thomas. They said, Jesus showed up. We saw his nail prints. We saw his pierced side. We were there when he breathed on us. Now, if it be me, I say, you know, I don't want everybody breathing on me. You don't get too close in my breathing space. You know, but Jesus, he breathed on us and we received the Holy Ghost. Oh, we got some power that we didn't think we were ever going to get. Our eyes were open. Our hope was renewed. And we got a feeling that we can do the impossible now. You should have been there, Thomas. But Thomas, where were you? Jesus is alive. Thomas says, you guys are crazy. I will not believe until I see for myself. I want to feel his side for myself. I want to put my hands on his nail prints. I'm not going to believe. And for 8 days, Thomas doubted. But here's the good thing that I like about, you know, don't you think that everybody sitting next to you is a believer? Sometimes all of us doubt. Sometimes all of us live somewhere between faith and doubt. Do I have a witness in the house? But thanks be to God. We have a community of faith that when I'm doubting, you're believing. And your testimony restores my own faith. And I thank God for the faithful of the church. I thank God that you made it here today. Never mind those last Sunday CMEs, the Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter crowd. But this is a faithful crowd that shows up every Sunday to give a testimony of the goodness of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. When the doubter shows up, the faithful don't kick you out. There are some latecomers to the cross of Christ. Thanks be to God. Sometimes when you doubt, you've got to press your way to church anyhow. Life doesn't make any sense, but you pray anyhow. You worship anyhow. You go and give glory to God anyhow. Do I have a witness in the house? When you don't understand why the Lord is taking you through the storms of life, you press your way. You go to church anyhow. Thomas.
I like the fact that Thomas hung in there with the disciples. Can you imagine being the only doubter in the house? Everybody else said, oh, I saw him, I was there, I saw him. And I can just imagine if it had been me and them 10 kept on saying, you should have been there, I would have lost it. One time you could say, you should have been there on the first day, I would have accepted it. Second day, I would have accepted it. Third day, I would have started being Greg all over again. I don't want to hear that mess no more. But he hung right on in there. 8 days. And then Jesus showed up. This is what I want you to get. Everybody is not saved on the same day. But sometimes there are some latecomers to Christ. And I want you to know that Christ can speak peace to latecomers. Do I have a witness in the house? Christ can speak peace to your soul. He can speak peace to my soul. Everybody didn't come out of your mother's womb talking about praising the Lord. Some of us been through hell almost and almost lost our lives. But thanks be to God, we got there on the 8th day. And Christ shows up on the 8th day and the 40th year. Thanks be to God. So, Thomas goes, he's sitting in there, and I'm glad, the other thing I'm glad about is, I'm glad that those 10 disciples didn't throw Thomas out. You know, church folk can, sometimes they can throw you out without throwing you out. They know how to look at you funny. They know how to say stuff to get on your last nerve. But I'm glad that those 10 guys up there didn't throw him out. Where were you, boy? But Thomas says, I'm not going to believe until I see for myself. And finally, on the 8th day, Jesus shows up. And he comes specifically to be a blessing to Thomas. I like that. And somebody who hasn't been to church in the last 10 years, I want you to know Jesus showed up today just for you to speak peace into your soul. He didn't come. Those other 10, they already experienced. They already got the break. He already blew on them. He blew on them 8 days ago. But today, he came to blow on you. I wish to God I could blow like I wanted to. This mic ain't right. That's the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. How many of you got some stuff that needs to be blown away? Pride, jealousy, envy, meanness, and lust, and whatever. All of us got some stuff that needs to be blown away. So, Jesus shows up and old Thomas, this time, he was, because this morning I kept messing up. People told me after service, they said, listen, because I kept saying A-O-L. They said, no, Reverend, it's A-W-O-L. Thomas was A-W-O-L. The first time. But the second time, he was in the doubting, but in the house. Not believing, confused, but in the house. Remember that text that says, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Sometimes when you don't believe, as long as you're in the house, somebody in there said, I want you to look at somebody and say, I got your back. I'm praying for you, girl. I'm praying for you, child. You know, I don't know what you're going through. You ought to look at somebody and say, I don't look like what I've been through. I mean, if I looked the way I really, what I've been through, I'd be a mess. What? I'm not perfect, but I'm in the house today. It's been a long time since I've been here. But, oh, I'm so glad I'm here today. I got a feeling. I felt the breath of God on me today. I feel like I'm going to be all right now. So when Thomas came to himself, he says, after Jesus, he had touched Jesus' side and his nailed hands and feet, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." That's where God wants to get us, to the point where we'll cry out, "My Lord and my God." The peace of God. God says to each one of you,